Thank you for listening to Ivy Podcast, where we feature weekly leadership conversations with thought leaders and industry experts. Now, here is your host, John Karsibayev.
Robin, I'll start with you.
Hi, I'm Robin Bienfey, and I am the founder and CEO of Atlanta Tech Park and a little company that's advisory services called Innovate. I just wanted to share a little bit about Atlanta Tech Park. We are a global tech accelerator. Our mission is to actually attract more technology-based companies to Georgia. We want them to land and expand here and help grow our tech footprint. We have companies here from Brazil, Switzerland, Israel. We even got a couple of companies that are out of California. How about that? And so Canada. So we are a tech accelerator, which is different than an incubator. The companies here in Tech Acceleration, we have 90 plus companies. That means they've already well on their way to growth. A lot of them have already gone past their Series A. Some are starting their Series A, all have traction. And our demographics here are about 25% of each demographic. So we have about 25% women founders, 25% of other minorities. We have 25% of Black founders, male founders, and 25% white founders. Is that funny? We are a very good, I guess I would tell you that we are a good view of what the real population looks like. I'm a three-time corporate officer, AT&T, BlackBerry, and Samsung. And in all three roles have played in innovation as a significant part of my career. And I'm really big on sponsoring not only innovation, but women in innovation.
That's very exciting. Thanks so much, Robin, for the introduction. Tony, if you don't mind doing the same introduction for us.
Okay, my name is Tony Harrison Hogan. I am a senior director at Under Armour. I manage the corporate and teammate applications tower in global technology. My team is responsible for corporate functions, digital transformation, the employee experience, and commercial go-to-market. My background prior to joining Under Armour, 15 years of experience working as an advisor to the C-suite, supporting them as it relates to enabling their operational and business strategies with technology, really using the e-com platforms to as an intro into international business as relates to the EMEA, APAC, and LATAM regions, being able to transact business using their e-com platform, being able to fulfill and other types of business operations that they need to stand up to be able to fully take advantage of doing business in an international region. Also have a background in cybersecurity and product management and risk management.
That's very impressive, Tony. Thank you so much for that. And last but not least, Tamara.
Thank you, John. So I am Tamara Lapata. I am the client engagement executive for a company called Hylane. And I recently launched the Atlanta office of Hylane, which is out of Charlotte. We are a project-based IT consulting company. Prior to that, I served as executive director for the Georgia CIO Leadership Association, the Alabama CIO Leadership Association, Twin Cities, several other CIO groups around the country. And as part of that, I've gotten to know CIOs and their challenges quite a bit. And I've also seen how few women make it to the top to become the CIO or the CTO. And so anything that I can do to help promote women and encourage them in technology, I am all for it.
Well, that's super exciting. And I'm very humbled to be surrounded by so much expertise and so much passion around a particular topic that we want to cover in today's conversation, which leads me further to a point around the Society of Information Management event that you guys are planning and organizing there in Atlanta. Tony, if you don't mind telling us a little bit more about the event, and then I would like to take this a little bit further and talk about the purpose and the mission of that.
Okay, great. So the Society for Information Management is an organization, premier organization for IT executives and CIOs across the country. We have about 40 plus chapters. We are, Tamara and I are part of the Atlanta chapter. And she is leading the membership chair and as well as on the board. I serve on the board as well, and I have a dual capacity as a women champion for STEM. Really, the whole organization is about really connecting each other across the industries, across practitioner areas, and working in a way that is
very collaborative.
Very collaborative. Okay, so SIM, we talked about SIM. Society for Information Management, been around about 50 some years. It is a premier organization for CIOs and their senior IT executives that report into them. This organization is about connecting and really relationship building and really promoting each other in the technology space. A part of SIM is SIM Women. It's at the national level. And then also I serve as the SIM Women champion as well for the Atlanta chapter. And understanding not only what Tamara spoke about what few women in the upper ranks of technology, but also this the same issue for women as it relates to their technology-owned startup companies. And so as a result of understanding where we are as women in technology, we leave twice as much, we quit our technology jobs quite twice as much as men do, because of undiscrimination, unfair practices in the workplace. And as we hit the glass ceiling, we choose to exit. And so when we do exit, it's not even better for us, right? We still have challenges finding investors, finding those contract opportunities to really propel our startup technology companies forward. And so as a result, Tamara and I joined forces with Robin and Tech Park and her company to really spearhead an initiative within Atlanta and also surrounding communities to really help women break that glass ceiling now, not in the corporate ranks, but now within the capital funding area.
So as you partnered up with Tamara and I'm alluding to more the March 15th event geared towards the women founders and entrepreneurs, Tamara, do you mind telling us a little bit more about this event? What is the purpose and the mission, and maybe any additional information that you could share about it?
Sure. The event is actually on March 25th. It's going to be an invitation only pitch lunch. And we are going to have five different entrepreneurs take a few minutes and share what their organization is doing, what the technology is, their background, in hopes that some folks in our audience, we've got a lot of CIOs and other IT executives, investors, and other interested people who are going to be here to listen to the presentations, provide feedback to these women on their presentations, and hopefully some business will take place. That's our goal. Robin, is there anything you want to add?
Yeah, one of the things you have to understand about underrepresented communities is when it goes into the entrepreneurial space, funding, 90% of the funding goes to the male founder and typically white male founder. What we're trying to do is get a little bit more balance in the space so that, you know, the 10% that's only going to underrepresented spaces actually grows. And here in the Southeast, it's very typical for a woman entrepreneur or a woman founder to bootstrap a lot longer than any other traditional founder. In addition, they have a higher likelihood to succeed because they've learned a lot more things under the road. So there was a study put out by McKinsey back in 2018 that basically said women and diverse or inclusive teams will outperform all other founders by 35% on their ROI. And what we're trying to do is lean in and make sure that founders, women, get a chance to have a bigger voice here in the Southeast because they're often overlooked, and get that story told. So we have five phenomenal women founders that have already transitioned into a space of generating revenue. So they're not just seeking capital to get started, they're seeking capital to grow. And in this space, this is giving them an opportunity to get in front of a lot of executives, a lot of other capital that might be looking for their space. But the biggest gift anybody can give to these women entrepreneurs is their business. So we're really looking to help generate more revenue and more traction for them. And it starts with awareness. Would you like me to share with you our founders that we have coming out for the event?
Yeah, that would be great. And actually, that was my further question, maybe for Tamara, to tell us a little bit more about these female entrepreneurs, who they are, what are they building? That would be great to hear.
Well, I've done some research on them, and I tell you, I cannot wait to hear from these ladies. But Robin actually knows them all personally, so I'd like for her to share their stories.
Perfect.
So one of the companies is iGage, and iGage was a startup out of Emory, and iGage was out of Emory cooperating with Georgia Tech when I met them. And they have a technology that allows you to check yourself or your employee or self-check to whether or not you are fit to drive. And their eye technology can actually determine whether or not you are inebriated or under the influence of something else. And for somebody that, you know, if you're in the transportation business or you're in law enforcement or any kind of critical or mission critical transportation, you want to know that the employee behind the wheel is fit to drive. And this is a way that employee can do a self-check. So she is well on her way for her, I want to say, early seed round. She's bootstrapping up until now, and I think you'd be really excited to hear what iGage is doing. We have another company, Agreda. Agreda is the digitalization of farming. She integrates all the farming equipment end to end through IoT sensors and technology, along with analytics, so that you will know whether your crops have got enough water, got enough fertilizer, actually temperature-wise is in some range of control. She does it soup to nuts. So her digital platform is actually helping elevate our farmers. One of the other platforms that's coming out is Vital 4. And Vital 4 is an AI technology that does background screening. And you think, oh, I only do background screening once or twice a year. Well, with the age of cyber and cybersecurity, you actually need to be scanning critical employees all the time. With their platform, 24/7 AI technology, they can background screen your employee as many times as you like. They can look for sanctions across the globe. They also have information where if you have KYC, which is know your customer if you're in the banking industry, or AML restrictions, that's anti-money laundering. They have capabilities within their platform. They've had two large customers here in Atlanta sign up to them, and they're well on their way. They've just launched their location in overseas to get going. So you'd be excited to hear about actually two women founders in that case. Mm-hmm. With the other company, we have Physicians 360. Physicians 360 was started by two emergency med doctors down in Albany, Georgia, where we had a big outbreak of COVID. They've built a platform. They're working with over 1,000 independent pharmacies across the United States, providing all types of test kits, not just for COVID, but for urinary tract infections, strep throat. You buy the kit on the counter, you take it home, sit it on your or in your medicine closet. Child wakes up in the morning, sick with a sore throat. You can swab their throat, get their test results, and it's a full 360. That's why it's called Physicians 360, is that you can actually have a physician consult at that moment and have the medicine sent into that particular pharmacy that you bought the kit from. So it gives you, from soup to nuts, full capability. And Exahive. So CM from Exahive is in the United States. She's also in Canada, and she has a secure messaging platform. She's working with Microsoft, BlackBerry, and IBM, and she is launching a couple of other products that allows you in the background so that your machine-to-machine conversations aren't overheard.
Wow, that's super exciting. And being a very active angel investor for quite some time myself, and very heavily plugged in, at least in the South Florida startup ecosystem, it definitely sounds like a very diverse group of founders that you guys are supporting, especially as part of this event. So that's very exceptional. Thank you for sharing that.
Did you know, John, that only 5% of tech startups in the world are women?
Yeah, those are very, very absolutely astonishing statistics that you guys are sharing. I was definitely not aware of that. But in terms of the differences, what female founders face, definitely, you know, that leads me to a further point around challenges that as a female entrepreneur you face these days. Maybe Tamara, can you share some of your perspectives in terms of what are the different challenges that they face, and perhaps some recommendations how to overcome that?
Sure. So some of the challenges that women face in general is, wanting to become a parent, for one thing, you know, having time to fit everything into their world. And especially when you're an entrepreneur, you're working day and night. So, you know, having a support network that can be there for you, whether that be a spouse, a partner, parents, someone that can help, in that regard. And as Robin mentioned, funding, you know, just coming to having an opportunity to be at the table and share what you do in hopes that you can get funding. I think part of the challenge is just getting the opportunity to sit at the table and talk to folks. So we're hoping that, you know, an event like this can help make a lot of these investors more aware that, you know, that the women are there, they're smart, they've got great solutions, and just listen. Let's see, some of the other challenges. What do you guys
think? I think networking, you know, think about as women, right? The challenges that we have getting our voices heard. On top of that, being able to get access to the decision makers. And most of those decisions sometimes are not made in the boardroom or in the corporate room. They may be made on the golf course, maybe made in the locker room and other areas that women traditionally have been left out of. And so networking and all the work that Robin does around really cultivating, mentoring, and really helping them have a solid pitch to be able to articulate their startup, what they can do, the contributions, the return on investment, all that plays into your pitch. And women traditionally may not have that type of mentorship like men do. And also too, men sometimes get funding quicker than women do, even though they may have all the pitch. I mean, we talked about that story on last Friday around how some of the female founders who had everything that they needed, but still are all the check boxes checked off, but still they had trouble finding a angel investor.
Correct. Mm-hmm. And it's not because they're just women. Is there's a very conservative crowd that believe that a man has done this before, been there, done that, and the women are just in there learning. And what they don't realize is women run businesses all the time. They run the business of their house. They run the business of their life. They sometimes run their husband's business, which I do across the street. Yeah. And so, you know, a lot of times they get overlooked for those reasons. And sometimes women have a tendency to be a lot more shy and humble and don't come out and just ask for what they need. And they almost feel that they have to have everything done and baked before they share it with you. Whereas sometimes a man has the confidence that, hey, I've got a great idea. Won't you back me? And they've got a network of people that are like, yeah, okay, I like your idea. They may not even have it on a piece of paper and somebody's backing them. Whereas a woman's come in, already generating revenue, already got a capability out there, already, and they're still suspect of whether or not she's a good investment. And I think, you know, we've just got to make sure that they can see these women founders and what they've done. I mean, when you think of Physician 360, she's already connected with over 1,000 independent pharmacies. Think about the issue that she is solving. The issue is in our rural communities, the hospitals are closing. So where are they going to get access to a doctor other than on a SaaS platform for medical connections and an ability to do a test kit at home where they may have an elderly person that's suffering from a UTI and they need to get medicine? it just helps drive a different type of economy and reach for some of, you know, people that are disadvantaged even. A lot of these women are doing things through some of those social connections. In the space of farming, we don't think of farming as something that's technical. However, if you see what Agrita has done on their digital platform, it lets you know that farmers also have a lot of technology in the tractor and equipment that they've bought, but they really don't know how to connect it and use it. And she's bringing that to light. So, you know, when I see what each one of these founders is tackling, it's a passion in an area that they have wrestled with, dealt with. It's a challenge that they think needs to be overcome. It wasn't just a good idea that they thought they could make money with. They're passionate about it. And I think when you see these five women founders, you'll also get passionate about it.
Right. Absolutely. Thank you for sharing that. And the five female founders that you have described, they all seem to be very exceptional entrepreneurs and operators. In terms of the characteristics of a great female founder that you guys pay attention to, you guys, you know, value over, you know, any other specific characteristics, can you maybe, Tamara and Tony, you guys can start with that. Just talk briefly about some of these characteristics that make some of these female entrepreneurs exceptional.
I think perseverance is number one. Mm-hmm. You know, what we have witnessed individually and talking with other founders, I think that's the main characteristic that stands out across all of the founders, the ones that we have featured today and the ones we'll feature in the future, is perseverance and understanding the application of technology. Women understand technology. So I think that's another characteristic that I want to highlight, and how to use technology to solve really social as well as business problems.
And they're risk takers. I mean, you know, LaVonda with iGage said, if you can't find the opportunity you're looking for, create it for yourself. So they're willing to step out and take that risk because they do have the confidence that they know what they're doing and, you know, they can reach out to people around them. They've got a network. Mm-hmm. So I think confidence is another key as well.
Right. Absolutely. Going back to the mentorship aspect, and Robin, you seem to be extremely passionate about that specific area, mentoring female entrepreneurs. Can you tell us a little bit more about the work that you do in that space, and why are you so passionate about it?
Well, you know, I'm a technologist, got my master's at Georgia Tech and my undergrad at Cambridge. And as many times as I've been in technology, I was always working with a group of guys. I know that sounds, it's just kind of, and I don't think of it that way. When I come in the room and I'm working with a technical team, it's just a bunch of technical people working on something.
Yep.
And there's not this male, female, black, white, none of the, it's just, once you get into the technology, it sort of levels the playing field. What I have found exciting over the years is, if you can get into teams like that, you know, the sky's the limit. You can build just about anything. I carry about 18 patents. I wrote two just last year while I'm running Atlanta Tech Park. And some people, you know, I've had a few people stop me and basically say, how are you doing that and running the park? And I was like, okay, I ran an organization at Bell Labs that had 11,000 scientists and engineers. I ran a global network that had 60,000 employees. I think I can run Tech Park with three people. And, you know, I'm able to pull that one off. So I've been an officer, and I wasn't the typical person that got hired and put in the job as an officer. I had to grow into each one of those roles. And the interesting thing is, it was a man that had the courage to put me in that job, in all three of them. The first job was an Iranian man who ran all of technology for AT&T. And he put me in the role of running AT&T's global network, running Bell Labs, and doing everything I could to be their chief compliance officer for environment, health, and safety. So I'm the person who goes to jail. At BlackBerry, it was the founder of BlackBerry. When he saw what I was doing on his BlackBerry, he said, when can you come work for me? Name which job you want. It wasn't about that I was a woman doing the job. It was about I was capable and they could see my capabilities. When I got hired by the CEO of Samsung Electronics, It wasn't because he needed a female to be in the job. He wanted the most talented person he could find. So when I look for a woman founder, I first look at what they're building and understand the technology from a perspective of, does it have legs? Will it make money? Because you're going to get people investing in things if you're a good fiduciary. And if it makes money and it's got a great founder, just so happens to be a woman, it's even more investable in my mind. And these women, if you talk to each one of them, you'll find that the technology that they're playing in is unique, is going to have a lot of traction, and excellent that they also will have an impact being a woman founder. And you'll see that they build a very diverse and inclusive team.
Mm-hmm. Right, absolutely. That's very powerful. Thank you for sharing that, Robin.
One of the things that you did mention, Robin, when you were talking about your experience is capable. Right?
Very capable,
right? And so all these women are capable. Tamara is capable. I'm capable. A lot of women are capable. But the difference is the exposure, making sure that even though you're capable, you have the exposure for someone to see that you're capable. And that's why I felt so adamant about us joining forces and really putting this event together, because I understand how it is when you are capable, but you still can't get funding for your startup tech company or your technology company that you've had for years, and you still don't have the injection of funding to be able to hit that growth curve like you need to. Mm-hmm.
To move to the next level quick mm-hmm. enough. Mm-hmm. And what I find also interesting is in the Southeast, we tend to be a little bit more conservative. And so it is women that go in to need to support women in this space. However, the event is for everybody to attend. It's great to see, I've got a couple of guys here that are running an event and doing something. And he said to me, he says, I have two daughters. I said, well, you should come to the event and see some great founders and see what they're doing. And so, you know, it all of us share in this journey. And so we'd love to have anybody that needs to be there, work with Tony, and get invited if they're not invited. We'll yes. see.
Right. Absolutely. Well, we're going to try to help out at least in any way that we can through the Ivy Podcast platform to get as much exposure as possible for this event. And last but not least, I usually love to close out every conversation from a perspective of advice or maybe a series of recommendations that each of you received early on in your careers that you continuously revert to yourself and also pass it on to others. Can you speak a little bit to that from a mentorship perspective? Tamara, if you don't mind, I'll pick on you first.
Sure. Well, actually, this is advice I found when I was looking to change careers to move from graphic design and more of a technology focus in a leadership role, lots of public speaking. Not my favorite thing to start with, but I saw the quote from the guy who wrote Chicken Soup for the Soul. And he said, everything you want is on the other side of fear. And I think that is tremendous for anybody, that if you can see what you want, yes, fear is there in front of you, but step through it. You'll survive. And if you don't, you're going to learn something and you can pivot. So I think that's the best advice I found for myself.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Very powerful. Thank you for that. Tony, what about you?
Well, I guess the best career advice, it was from my husband. One of those challenging days, you know, and coming home. And he said, Tony, own your power, own your voice. And it's okay to be a woman and be a capable woman and strong woman and do what you need to do to succeed. But as well as bring others along with you when you do.
That's great. Thank you, Tony. And Robin, last but not least.
Well, I learned really quick that the fastest way to generational wealth is by being a founder. My husband and I were wrestling with who was going to go and start their own company. And I told him, I said, you know what? Start your own company and I'll be the IT guy. And I'll continue working at AT&T. I'll just be the IT guy. And so as much as I've been an executive officer for three large firms and watching his career and mine running beside, even though I was the IT guy, he's generated more generational wealth being a founder. And so what women need to know in this space step out there, you're going to fail fast, and get back up and go. And I think the only reason I was successful in the corporate space is I didn't care if anybody fired me. You know, fire me, I'll go mm-hmm. do something else. And I think when, you know, when we talk about fear, don't worry about it. Just keep moving.
Sure. That's great. Thank you for sharing that. And overall, I wanted to thank you guys for taking the time. Tell us a little bit more about this event and everything that you do for entrepreneurs and within your communities. To all of our listeners, we'll make all of the links and information available about the event, about the SIM organization in the show notes. And I can't thank you enough for your time today. I really appreciated that.
Thank you so
much.
Thank
you, John. This has been fun.
Thank you for listening to the Ivy Podcast. Be sure to subscribe to our RSS feed on ivypodcast.com and all major podcasting platforms like Spotify and iTunes. As always, if you enjoyed this podcast, please give us a rating on iTunes.